Welcome to the Well-Rested Woman podcast series. I'm your host, Karen Brody, founder of Bold Tranquility, a movement leading women to more rest and an opportunity to wake up to what's possible. I'm so excited to be having a Yoga Nidra Jam Fest today. The delicious conversation you're hearing today was previously recorded live. So let's begin. I want to introduce you today to our guest, Kamini Desai. The first time I met Kamini Desai, I was training to certify in the Amrit method of Yoga Nidra, which is the style of Yoga Nidra you'll primarily be listening to when you listen to Bold Tranquility. And I remember beginning our training with 30 or more trainees all sitting in a circle, and we told Kamini our names. And then she went around the circle and she repeated every single name. She was asked how she did this, and her reply was, Yoga Nidra. So we'll be asking her about that. You remember that, Kamini, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that in just a minute, but I want to first give a few more details on who Kamini is. And what I love so much about Kamini is that she brings a Western sensibility to Eastern teachings, like Yoga Nidra, which is a practice that yogis have been doing for centuries. And maybe it's her degree in anthropology and psychology, combined with being the daughter of a renowned yogi, Yogi Amrit Desai. Or maybe that's why her work is seeped in this mystery of Yoga Nidra and the practical applications, like how we really understand and honor these ancient teachings, but also incorporate them simply into our modern busy lives. And Kamini has taught Yoga Nidra meditation all over the world, and is currently the director and lead teacher of the Amrit Method of Yoga Nidra, of yoga teacher trainings and the Amrit Method of Yoga Nidra professional training, which she's in the middle of right now, one of them, down in Florida. She works with corporations like Sony to bring teachings like Yoga Nidra into people's modern lives. So I'm so excited to have her joining us here today. I'm literally tingling with excitement because while I've benefited from Yoga Nidra and I coach women using it, and I'm a self-proclaimed Yoga Nidra cheerleader, Kamini is really a Yoga Nidra expert. So welcome, Kamini. It's really great to have you here. Welcome,
thank
welcome.
You. Great to be here.
Yes, so happy you're here. And there's so many callers on the line, so it's really exciting. Let's begin. There are so many women joining us today. Like I said, nearly 500 have signed up for the Well-Rested Woman. And, you know, they've just heard, many of them have just heard about Yoga Nidra meditation, and they have no idea what it is. So can you tell us what is Yoga Nidra and what potential does it hold for women?
Okay. So I think most of us have a sense of what meditation is, more or less observing our thoughts rather than participating in our thoughts, particularly the worrying ones. But most of us, when we try to sit down and meditate, you know, our knees hurt or back hurts and we're not quite sure what we're supposed to be doing. So yoga nidra, actually nidra means sleep. Yoga means wholeness. And so yoga nidra is a way of entering into deep states of meditation by following the something that your body knows how to do. So your body knows how to sleep. And every night, just before we fall asleep, we naturally let go of our thoughts. Our thoughts naturally move further away from us, which allow us to fall into sleep. And if we can't do that, of course, we call that insomnia. So what we're doing is we're using a biological process to enter deep states of meditation in such a way that anybody can do it.
Yes, and that's what I love so much about it, which is, you know, that it just is activating a natural biological process. And what, I mean, if someone were to come up to you and say, I mean, what, in terms of the potential for women, like what is it about women and women's lives that this is such a juicy technique?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think, you know, look, we've all got, I think particularly women, we're givers. But the issue is we, like you said, with the oxygen mask, you know, we've got job, we've got kids, we've got caregiver responsibilities, community, church, bills, laundry, and we want to do so much, but we end up paying the price with our own health. And what ends up happening is that we're doing and doing and doing, and the body starts to get tired out without us even realizing it until we get sick and until we can't sleep or until we look in the mirror and go, oh, my God, is that really me? So one of the things that Yoga Nidra does is that it allows you to disengage from the process by which we engage in all those worrying thoughts. You know, most of us, a lot of times when we go to sleep, we can't even let go of those thoughts. We still have that internal to-do list going on in our head. You know, oh, I can't forget this. Oh, I can't stop doing that. So we're constantly on the go, even when our body is supposed to be resting. And so what we want in Yoga Nidra is to just give the body a chance to completely restore itself. And really, it's said that 40 minutes of Yoga Nidra is the equivalent of 3 hours of sleep. So it's deeply restorative to the body, and essentially what it's doing is it's taking you down through the brainwave states that you do in sleep, but you go through them a few times. So it happens in a very condensed format, whereas in sleep it happens through an extended time period. So you're getting the rest benefits of sleep in a very short period of time, which allows your body to rejuvenate itself.
I'm totally shaking my Yoga Nidra pom-poms when you say that. I mean, it's like 40 minutes is the equivalent of 3 hours of sleep. This is, you know, I mean, I love sleep and I appreciate sleep, and I know that women are always lectured to get more sleep, but the reality sometimes of our lives, especially I'm just thinking of a postpartum mom, you know, with a new baby or whatever it is, there are times in our lives where we can't get that sleep. And not that Yoga Nidra should replace sleep, but to give our bodies that deep rest, 3 hours of sleep in 40 minutes. I'm thinking that's pretty amazing.
Pretty good. Yeah. And actually, you know, it's shown that women have an incidence of more, they have 1.5 more times more sleep problems than men do. And I think it's because we're just trying to do and get everything done. We're trying to be the perfect person, to have everything together for everyone. And the body just gets tired out. It gets exhausted. And we don't even know. We know we're exhausted, but we don't know how to catch up, you know. So this is a really powerful way to get that power nap, if you want to call it that, that really restorative part that your body can give you. But, you know, just a regular sleep even often can't do that.
Yeah. Now, can you explain how Yoga Nidra mimics sleep, but it's not sleep?
Yes.
You know, explain that to us.
Okay. So what we do is basically we use a series of body, breath, and awareness techniques that will take you down from the beta brainwave state where I'm talking to you right now, and we drop into theta just by closing the eyes and using breathing techniques. So what we're doing is we're, again, mimicking the brain waves, but we stop or we take you to the place just between waking and sleeping. So what we're actually doing is we're taking you right to that twilight zone. You know that feeling that you have right before you fall asleep where you're kind of zoned out, your thoughts are far away from you, your body's deeply relaxed, everything feels like it's okay. So you're not in regular sleep in the same way, you're in what's called a conscious sleep. You're going down into deep brainwave states, but your awareness or some level of your awareness is still there. And the reason that's important is because when you come out, you're actually teaching yourself to learn to be in that kind of relaxed state of being, that relaxed zone, even when you're awake. So by training yourself to be awake in deeper brainwave states where you'd normally be asleep, you're actually training yourself to bring those relaxed brainwave states back with you to the waking state.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's a really great way to just learn how to be more relaxed all the time, not just while you're down in Yoga Nidra.
Right, right. And so that understanding, I guess that visceral understanding in our bodies, we can bring back to waking state.
Exactly, yes.
Sounds like. And with sleep, you know, one of the things, because I know a lot of people who do Yoga Nidra, the first thing they say is, oh, I'm sure I fell asleep. What did I benefit at all? What would you say to that?
Well, there are a couple things. So if we go back to the brainwaves, there are actually two levels of Yoga Nidra, first of all. So the first level of Yoga Nidra, the thoughts will still be there, but they will be at a greater distance. And because the Yoga Nidra actually crosses the dream state, you'll feel like you might have, you know, images, you might have random thoughts come in, and then you hear the person leading the Yoga Nidra come in. And even though there's kind of like the ticker tape parade of thoughts still going on, there's a deep relaxation happening in the body. So even though there are thoughts, there's a disidentification from the thoughts, which allows you to be very relaxed, even though stuff is there. But then there's a deeper level of yoga nidra, which happens between theta and delta brainwave states, which are very, very deep. And in that state, you may actually stop hearing the facilitator. You may forget even yourself. You may not even, you might say, if you were to come out, you'd say you were gone, right? And for most of us, the only time we've ever experienced that is when we're sleeping. And so we think we're asleep, but we may not actually be asleep. And the way to know that is if when the facilitator says, wake up, if you do, you weren't actually asleep. So that's one way to know actually if you were asleep or not. But here's the thing. Your body, when it starts to restore itself, is going to go to what you need most. So if you're exhausted and your body's exhausted, it's going to put you to sleep because that's what you need. So it's really just about trusting your body and trusting that if that's what you need first, it's going to put you down there, it's going to restore you. And then the more you do yoga nidra, the more you'll be able to maintain a certain level of awareness in the yoga nidra state, but to just kind of let it happen organically. And what I find is that, and what people tell me, is that they are still getting the benefits, whether they hear the yoga nidra consciously or not. The cells of their body are receiving it. So whether you're consciously hearing what's said or not, you're getting benefits, and over time you'll learn to receive those benefits and bring them back to the waking state.
And that's what's interesting is take us through the journey, the yoga nidra map, so to speak, of where, you know, because there is a specific protocol that we take people on, and in so doing, I mean, something that you mentioned about when you wake, yoga nidra has this potential to help people break habits, change patterns, self-defeating patterns, things like that. How does it do that?
Okay. So we could map it a couple different ways, but basically the idea is that we're going down into a place, an area of being. Most of the time we try to change everything from the mind, right? So we say, you know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to exercise, or today I'm going to take time for myself. But we know that even though the conscious mind will say, I'm going to do this or that, there's something subtler than that that's still having us do the habits we don't want to do, right? So even though we consciously want to do something, there's something that's undoing that. In yoga nidra, this is called the bliss body. It's a subtler level of being. You could kind of think of it like the unconscious that's affecting the conscious mind. So even though, you know, you might consciously say to yourself, oh, I love my body, there might be a part of you that's saying, no, you don't, right? So there's this underlying voice that's kind of undoing what it is that we're trying to do in the conscious state. So when we go down into yoga nidra, we're actually dropping beyond the conscious mind into very subtle states, and actually where even subtler mind thoughts, beliefs, mind chatter, programming, whatever you want to call it, is held. These old voices that we carry that are almost pre-conscious, they're beyond the level of the mind, but they're affecting them. And in that state, what we can do is we can actually plant affirmations. We can plant intentions that will affect the way that we think. So that when you say to yourself, you know, I'm going to actually get up and take care of myself, you've helped your whole body, not just your conscious mind, but the subtle mind, kind of get behind it is that you want to create in your life. I think we all know, you know, you go to a meal and you tell, one part of your mind says, I'm going to eat moderately, and then you get there and another part of your mind takes over, and after the meal you kind of go, oh my God, what happened, right? And then the first mind comes in, and then we beat ourselves up. So what we want to do is, one of the things that's really unique about yoga nidra is it's not just a meditation where you disengage from your thoughts, but once you're disengaged from the unhelpful thoughts, you can actually put in helpful ones that will serve you and help you move in the direction that you want to go.
Yes. That's why I call it yoga. I call yoga nidra meditation with a cherry on top.
Yes.
And so explain to people maybe a little bit more, because some people might be familiar now. There's a lot of talk about meditation and, you know, the benefits, and there are so many, and yoga nidra obviously you get all of those juicy benefits. But what are some of these differences? You just touched on that a bit. But, you know, the yoga, this meditation with a cherry on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think the first one is anybody can do it. Right. So because it's using something, your body already knows how to fall asleep. Let's hope it doesn't. If not, yoga nidra will take care of that. But it's following a biological process that you already know how to do, which is going to make the process of disengaging from those anxieties, those worries, those fears really easy. Okay. So that's the first thing. Pretty much, if you can lie down and you can breathe, you can have very deep, profound experiences of relaxation and restoration in your body. So it takes the guesswork out of it. It takes the effort out of it. I know people who struggle for years in meditation and think, well, I'm supposed to be relaxing, but I'm even more stressed than when I started. So it takes all of that out of the picture and just lets you get the full benefits of the meditative restorative aspects of meditation and relaxation. The other aspect that we just talked about is that we're not just going to those states. We're able to target and make shifts from the subtle states of being. And there are enormous amounts of medical benefits that have been shown to happen from yoga nidra. So one of the things that happens is that when we are stressed, the amount of serotonin, the feel-good hormone in our system, goes down. And which makes us crave stuff, right? So that's when we crave carbs, we crave sugar, we crave all those things that are going to make us feel better. When we do yoga nidra releases serotonin in the system. So as soon as you start to go down, you'll feel a feeling of intense well-being come over your whole body. And that's actually the same thing that chocolate or sugar or carbs, all those things are doing for you, but now your body's doing it naturally. And the more serotonin you have in your system, the less you're going to go for those things that are less healthy for you, right? So what we're doing is we're building the chemistry of the body so that you're naturally not going to go to those habits that aren't working for you. Some of the other things that are released during yoga nidra is melatonin. So a lot of us have trouble with sleeping, premature aging. And melatonin actually determines the rate at which we age. And I really notice a difference between the general population and people who meditate or do yoga nidra or do things that release melatonin in the system, because it literally slows the rate at which we age. So it's an anti-aging property, and it also helps regulate our sleep cycles. So I know a lot of women these days, either, you know, new moms or, you know, nurses, people who are working night shifts and day shifts, you know, long hours and off hours, that affects our sleep cycles and it affects the rate at which we age. It affects our health. This is going to help re-regulate the way that you sleep so that when you do go down, you're in a deep restorative sleep.
And so tell me a little bit. What were you saying?
I said that's just a few.
Yeah, that's just a few, and they're all so juicy. I mean, serotonin, melatonin, it's so exciting. And I would say, again, my pom-poms are shaking here, you know, yoga nidra pom-poms, because I just encounter so many women who have insomnia or sleep issues. And to those women who are listening, would you say that there's a particularly good time to do yoga nidra meditation, or is there some advice you could offer them?
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the things that we want to do, I think kind of putting this idea of intention out there, you know, living from a place where you feel good, that's one. A well-rested woman wants to feel good. So a great time to do this is either first thing in the morning when you wake up, and you know, I'll have a yoga nidra on pod, and I will often, you know, if it's the difference between you doing yoga nidra or not, between you getting out of bed and getting to your mat, and if you know that on your way between you and the mat you're going to stop and do emails, better to even just do it in your bed. So just have the iPod there, you know, lie flat on your back, take your pillow out from underneath your head, and just do the yoga nidra as soon as you wake up, which will set you that deeper, more relaxed, more calm brainwave state before you even start your day. So you've got
That's what I have to do.
Yes, yes. And it's great. It kind of sets you on the right track for the rest of your day. No.
Tell us about another.
Okay, another great time would be before you go to sleep. Right. So a lot of us, I mean, I'm going to say this one, you know, I'm thinking in my head, oh, I can't forget to do this, so I have to do that. Or I'm chewing over a conversation. Like, well, what do you mean by that? And that's what I end up taking into my sleep, or that's why I can't sleep. So what yoga nidra will help me disengage from all that so that I can fall into a deep and restorative sleep. So particularly if there are people who have insomnia or trouble falling asleep, this would be a really good way to get into sleep as well.
Right. And so can you talk a bit about, I mean, one of the things I loved when I came for the training at the Omret, you know, method of yoga nidra was learning about the third eye. And I really want to get to this today because it's something that I'll be mentioning in every yoga nidra meditation during the well-rested woman. So tell us what we're unleashing when we focus on the third eye, this area between the eyebrows, the brow center.
Okay. So there's the scientific aspect of it and the yogic aspect. Start scientific and then we'll go yogic.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is there's a point, if you bring your attention to the point between the eyebrows, that actually stimulates a point center of the brain, the geometric center of the brain, which corresponds primarily to the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and also the pineal gland. So the hypothalamus is really the brain within the brain. Between the hypothalamus and the pituitary, which releases hormones, they tell your body whether you're stressed or not, what your metabolism is like, whether you're going to sleep or not, you know, what your body temperature is. Between those two, they're pretty much determining everything that's happening in your body. So if we're experiencing menopause, if we're experiencing hormone, if we're having overstress, by bringing attention to the third eye, you're actually stimulating the area of the brain that's directly related to those kinds of things.
Mm.
Also, the pineal gland is what releases melatonin that we were just talking about, the anti-aging factor, the sleep factor. So all these things, when you bring your attention to the third eye, that's what it's going to do, just on a scientific level. But from the yogic perspective, it's believed that the third eye is actually, the word third eye means agnya. Agnya means to command, right? And the command center is actually your connection between, let's say, your mind and your being, that which is beyond your mind, the part of you that's just relaxed and peaceful all the time. You know, there's a part of you that's always peaceful. We just don't always feel it. We don't always know it. It's like the sky behind the clouds. So the third eye, or your command center, is your connection to your peaceful nature. And when you bring your attention there, whether you're in yoga nidra or not, but you're opening the channel in yoga nidra, you can actually enter your peaceful nature. But the beauty of it is that you can also use that kind of like the law of attraction. It allows you to kind of move things from formless to form. So whenever we use an intention, we bring the intention to the third eye, because the third eye is what kind of brings things from potentiality into manifest actuality. I don't know if that sounds too out there.
No, not at all. And as a matter of fact, what you're saying, I've always told people this. I'm more maybe yogic than science personally, you know, because the science is great, and I hear that, and it does turn me on. But the whole idea of entering your peaceful nature in this place of the third eye really turns me on, because one of the things I find immediately when I started doing the Amrit method of yoga nidra with people is that women came out going, oh my gosh, what, right when I went to that place between my eyebrows, I just felt so peaceful. You know, and sometimes people can't even put it into words, but it's what you said, you enter your peaceful nature that's mm-hmm. always there. It's always been there. Sometimes we forget in this busy world we live in.
Exactly, yeah. And that's really what Yoga Nidra is intended to restore. You know, it's like there's always going to be stuff going on. You know, we're always going to have responsibilities because we want to be good people, you know, and that means we're going to have to do stuff. But how would it feel to have a connection, to have a steady, unchanging place, like a background, a peaceful background within which all these things can come and go? So that, you know, when the worries come through, when the challenges come through, when the ups and the downs come through, all of it's moving through a peaceful, quiet sky that kind of holds me steady in the midst of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Rather than, because if we don't have that, it literally feels like we're dragged around by everything that's moving through.
Right, right. And that's where I go straight to the third eye on the supermarket line.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, that becomes your channel to your peaceful place. That's exactly
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. And so Yoga Nidra can really be taken out into the world of not just the lying down or the leaning back moments, but you understand that you can enter this peaceful place, this peaceful nature at any time, and it's always available. So, yes, I love that. And one of the things that, in addition to that I find so yummy about Yoga Nidra, and I'd love you to talk about this concept of opposites in Yoga Nidra. Mm. And it's the first thing that drew me to Yoga Nidra as this fabulous approach, especially to coaching women. You know, the whole concept of not residing in the either or is so liberating for people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think especially women who are juggling so many demands, where it's so easy to slip into years of anger or sadness, and not remember that there is the opposite, and wow, there's the freedom of holding both and residing in this beautiful place of harmony. So can you talk about that as it relates to the practice of Yoga Nidra?
Sure. So to just explain the opposites first, from the perspective
yeah.
of yoga, in the world of form, everything arises in opposites, so like a yin and a yang. So that means, and most of us don't even think about it, but that as soon as we pick up one side of a coin or a pen, you know, let's say we picked up one side of the pen, you've automatically picked up the other. So that means in this world, you know, pain is going to come along with pleasure, right? So we love our kids, but that means that there's going to be painful moments that come with it. You know, we love our husbands or the people who are in our lives, but we also know that there's pain that comes along with it. But we don't always, we see one side of it and we want one side, but we don't necessarily see that the other part is part and parcel of the whole thing, right? So it's almost like saying, well, I should only breathe in, breathe in, breathe in, and never have to breathe out. But the two of them actually have to come hand in hand. If you think about a pendulum of a clock, you know, the pendulum swings to one side and we're happy, 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 but it's getting ready to do what? Swing to the other side. So this is always going to happen in life. And if my relationship with life is I become afraid of pain and only want pleasure, I'm always going to be afraid of one part of life. My life is going to be managed around avoiding pain rather than just living life, you know? So, you know, you'll see many of us, you know, we get hurt or something bad happens and we shut down. And we get afraid of painful experiences, but it also shuts us down to really living a full life with all the notes that it has to offer, because it has a lot of notes, pleasurable and painful ones. So what Yoga Nidra does is, by helping you reside in your peaceful nature, that sky-like state of awareness that you are, we bring up the opposites in the deepest states of relaxation, and we will say words to you like pain, pleasure. And what you learn to do in those states is kind of be neutral in the presence of either one of those words, so that you're not afraid of pain and you're not attracted to pleasure. You're just simply allowing that these two are both a part of life. So you're kind of training your perspective to be open to all the notes that life has to offer.
Right. I love that. I love that so much. And I want, on that note, I really want to ask people to ask a question if you have a question. If you press star 2 and you have a question for Kamini and really want to, you know, go deeper with anything that she said or anything that's coming up for you about Yoga Nidra, that would be wonderful. You can press star 2 or you can always put in a question in the Q&A piece on our website. I know a few people, we've got a few messages that some people can't hear our audio. So I hope that we can, that everyone is hearing me. Mm-hmm. I see we have lots of people on the line, so I'm just assuming that people would be going off the line if you're not hearing me. But if you do feel inspired and want to ask Kamini a question, again, you can press star 2. And I will say this, Kamini, that with Yoga Nidra meditation, one of the things that I find again and again with women is that they feel, number one, that rest is just critical, right? But they are very curious about the tools that we are using to get into this sleep. So can you just talk about the breath work a little and talk about the, you know, these different stages that people
Sure.
will experience? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what we do in Yoga Nidra is we're essentially working from the gross to the subtle. And we do this in order to kind of mimic the process, like we said, that we by which we go into sleep. And so we start with the physical body. And just focusing on the physical body, it could be tension and relaxation. You might do some simple stretches, those kinds of things. And then we drop kind of out of the thinking mind and into the feeling body. So usually we're up in the head, and just doing some physical poses will help us drop in from thinking to feeling. So then once we're kind of in the body, a little bit out more out of the mind, then we start to move energy. Okay, so energy is something that you feel as sensation in your body, and energy is something that is heightened through the breath. And so what we do is we use various breathing techniques, each of which has a therapeutic effect. So we might use like a three-part breath, which is the most powerful for creating the relaxation response. We could use a Shidli breath, which is really good for balancing blood sugar. So each of the breathing techniques will do something, has a therapeutic effect. So we'll do a breathing technique and let that heightened energy in the body start to move. And what you will find as you do the Yoga Nidra is the breathing itself and the heightened amount of energy will start to take out the mind automatically. So still to this day, you know, I'll be doing the Yoga Nidra going, ho-hum, nothing's happening. And then I'm doing the breathing technique and boom, my mind just shuts off like a light switch.
Yes, I have that too. That happens.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like you're
That's
just
wild.
Gone. Boom, out. Yeah. So the breathing, this whole principle that energy, when strong enough, has the power to just immediately quiet and steady the mind is what we're primarily using in the Amrit method of Yoga Nidra. Mm. So once we get that energy really high, we get the mind quiet, now we can get that energy moving through the body. And so what we do is acupuncture or Reiki, where the principle is that your body doesn't just run on circulation, it runs because there's energy. There's an energy system keeping it alive. And so what we're doing is we're paying attention to the lines of energy in the body to heighten and release any blockages that might be arising in the body. So an example of that is we will bring attention to the 61 major points of the body, which are like substations of energy. If you've heard of chakras before, these are like chakra substations. And by bringing attention to those, it acts like acupuncture. It basically clears the meridians of the body and optimizes energy flow, which means that you can have accelerated healing. You can help prevent disease in the future. It will energize the body. It will make you feel more refreshed. So now we've started moving energy through the body. And as that energy gets stronger, the mind's going to get even quieter, which is what we want. So we're moving down deeper and deeper and deeper. And finally, we can move into where you are resting as your peaceful nature. So once all the, it's kind of like a sky, and if that sky is filled with like trains and planes and thunderstorms and birds and all that kind of stuff, we want to get all the contents out so that you can simply rest as the sky of awareness itself. And from that place, that's where we might do different things like the opposites that we mentioned, where you learn in that place to just simply observe these passing experiences or simply rest there and let your body deeply rejuvenate itself. So that deep part of the yoga nidra is going to be the place where your body gets to restore and heal itself at the deepest, deepest, deepest level. This is where human growth hormone is released. This is where parts of your brain can actually heal and integrate. Studies have shown that the prefrontal cortex that has to do with attuned communication, your ability to be resilient to stress, all that gets thickened, that part of the brain gets thickened during this part of yoga nidra. So this is the deepest part, the best part. And then we slowly...
It's the full-bodied yam.
That's exactly
yam.
It. Yeah, that's the part we're all waiting for.
And then
just as we're coming out, that's when we plant the intention. Just as we're coming out of that yum stage, that's where we plant. We're cleared of all the worries and all the thoughts of the past. The mind is kind of like a clean slate, and then you can write something new on it, like, I feed my body nutritious foods. And from that level, because there are no other conflicting voices, it can be received cellularly at every level of your being. And then we slowly bring you out and you come back, and there's a point at which you can receive any wisdom or guidance from your inner intuitive knowing. And then you slowly come back to awareness, but you're taking with you a feeling of your peaceful nature back to the waking state.
Yes, the well-rested woman.
Exactly, and she emerges well-rested and radiant.
Yeah, radiant. Love that. Yes. And, you know, we're getting lots of questions from people who are listening on the web, so I want to ask you a few of these questions. Holly in Columbia, Missouri, asked, can you speak to the benefits of yoga nidra that can help bring, how yoga nidra can help the benefits yoga nidra can bring to the creative process?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that happens is as we go down into these deeper brainwave states is we enter, so we go beta, alpha, which is when your eyes are closed and you're kind of relaxed, all the way down through REM sleep. And then below that is theta brainwave state. And the theta brainwave state is where kids live. Kids have tons of brainwave activity. A theta brainwave activity. A lot of inventors and artists have a lot of theta brainwave activity. So what if you want to be more creative, or if you work in the advertising industry or you're a artist, that theta brainwave activity is where those new ideas come up. You know, it's said, I believe it was Edison who was said to have had a cot in his laboratory, and he believed he could nap, and his best ideas would come after he took his nap.
Right.
So this is in the theta brainwave state. You know when you go in and you have a problem and all of a sudden you wake up and you have the answer? That's happening in the theta brainwave state. So that's where the creative ideas, the insights, the knowing, all those kinds of things happen in the theta activity. This is where also when we were talking remembering all the names, this is where you gain the ability to retain information very well. So you have super learning kind of capabilities where you can just remember people's names, you remember facts, those kinds of things. And it's wonderful for the prevention of Alzheimer's, dementia, all those kinds of things.
Oh, I love that we circled back to that, because that was something I mentioned at the beginning. And yes, so the fact that you're going into these theta brainwaves and, you know, it helps with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really exciting. There's also a question, how long before you see reactive changes change?
Okay.
Good question.
Yes. So there are a number of different studies that have been done which show changes in different parts of the brain. But one of the most remarkable and fascinating, and it's kind of cutting-edge science right now, is the work done by Sarah at Harvard University. So it's a big deal. And basically what she showed was that by within 11 sessions, this is amazing, within 11 sessions of doing yoga nidra or meditation, you can actually, there are measurable changes in the density of the prefrontal cortex. So your prefrontal cortex, think of your reptilian brain, which is your inner brain, primal brain, and then you have the prefrontal cortex, which sort of covers it. And its job is to determine, is this a fight, is this a threat or not? Its job is to be calm, it's to maintain balance, it's to operate in a way that's attuned with its environment. So it makes you resilient to stress. So within 11 sessions, there are actually measurable changes in the brain, in this part of the body, which will make you more resistant to stress. That's very few sessions. There's another part of the brain called the hippocampus. The hippocampus has to do with mood and memory, and it's affected by people who, the hippocampus is affected when people have PTSD or when they have trauma or depression. And what's been shown is that within 8 weeks of practicing, the serotonin that we talked about that's released in the brain acts as fertilizer for the hippocampus and measurably makes the hippocampus larger. It's amazing to see the difference, actually, of what meditation, yoga nidra does. So those are just some of how much, how long it takes. But what you want to do for medical benefits is 20 minutes, 5 days a week, the minimum of 20 days, 5 days a week. And that's what most of the studies are based around. So if you want the medical benefits, that's how much you'd need to do.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's really exciting when you do something like a 21-day yoga nidra experience or some other, you know, something for an extended period so you can really begin to see those shifts happen. And there's another question from Noshaba in Chicago, and she writes, and this is something a lot of people have asked, actually. A lot of what you've said about planting affirmations during a yoga nidra session reminds me of hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little about how it is similar to hypnosis, self-hypnosis, and how it might be different? I would love to have more of a clarification of, on how the two practices might be similar and how they might differ.
Okay. So this is a good question, and I would say it's probably most similar to self-hypnosis than hypnosis itself, than regular hypnosis. So
that's
the first
that's
thing
a good
is,
clarification
yeah.
to make, yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing is in regular hypnosis, let's start with that, mostly the hypnotist will only take you to the alpha and theta brainwave states. So you can be awake, walking, talking, and be hypnotized is my thing. I'm not, you know, an expert in hypnosis, but that's my understanding. Whereas in yoga nidra, you actually go deeper. So you can go, you know, theta and deeper in yoga nidra than you're actually going in regular hypnosis. So that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that in self-hypnosis, there are more similarities, but the main difference is that usually in self-hypnosis, and we haven't talked about this too much, but yoga nidra is first and foremost a spiritual practice. It's designed to help you recognize your peaceful nature, right? So it's designed to help you eventually go even beyond to the thing that's beyond your body and mind to what is that peace. Whereas in hypnosis or self-hypnosis, we're usually trying to change aspects of the body-mind complex rather than recognize the peaceful nature behind it. So the intention behind it is slightly different, although you can use yoga nidra to make changes in the body-mind itself. Its ultimate purpose is to recognize you are peace, you are all whole, and that is your nature. And then the third difference that you can see on a, let's just say, a purely scientific level, and this is kind of interesting, is that when people are hypnotized or under hypnosis, even self-hypnosis, what's usually happening is what's defined as hypnosis is that the left brain becomes quiet and the right brain becomes activated. So that's hypnosis. In yoga nidra and in meditation, both halves of the brain begin to operate as one unit. So if you look at brain scans of people during yoga nidra meditation, what you see is that the same parts of the brain are being fired sequentially on both brain. So literally, you are becoming unified. Your brain becomes unified. You are literally experiencing your wholeness when you're going into nidra. So they're both working with subtle states of being. They're both using the principle of the subtle to affect the gross, but they do it in slightly different ways with slightly different intent.
Well, thanks for that clarification. And I just, you know, the moment you say about, you know, just lighting both sides of the brain up and, you know, that you're experiencing wholeness, it just, again, I'm just shaking those yoga nidra pom-poms because it really makes me excited about this potential for all people and especially for women. There's another question. Let's just take this last question. Jill in Vancouver, she just asked that you mentioned 20 minutes 5 days a week. Can we do more? You know, will the benefits increase, decrease, stay the same if you do more?
You can do more. So a yoga nidra can run. It should run between, 15 minimum to 45 minutes. And you could do longer, but usually just the comfort of the body comes in the way at some point. But any 15 and 45 minutes is going to give you benefit. And, yes, I would say the longer that you're in that yum-yum state we were talking about, the really, really, really quietest state of being, the more benefit you're going to get. But, yes, the 20 minutes would be the medical benefit level, but you're always going to get more the more you do.
Okay, wonderful. Well, wow. You know, it's just been so great hanging out with you this past hour, Kamini. Thank you. Is there anything you'd like to say just, before we wind down? Is there something you feel that needs, you know, to be said or something that's you want to, a thought that hasn't been completed?
Well, I think we covered a lot. I think, you know, what I would say is, we all get so busy that it feels like I just can't fit one more thing into my life. You know, like now I have to, oh, great, now I have to go do something else.
Yeah.
And what I love, you know, okay, well, tell me to do this and let me put this on my to-do list. And the two things I love about yoga nidra are, one, really this is about a subtraction of doing, that the technique itself teaching you to do less and less and less and less until the only thing that's left is your peaceful nature, that sky-like space of awareness. So it's your chance to subtracting. That's the one thing. And the second is, what I love about it is you can do it in bed. You can do it, you don't have to add anything onto your day. You just put, you know, your earplugs in and you just take yourself into it or tune in into your yoga nidras, you know, that we're going to be doing for the 21 days. So it's not something that has to add to your already busy schedule. It can be something that can be worked in, like you said, you know, but while you're waiting for your son. It's such a simple thing that can have such profound impacts, and that's what we want, something simple that everybody can do.
Yeah, that's the way I see it as well. I mean, I do it on the plane. I've done it at the nail salon getting a pedicure.
yeah. And, you know, for people who are undergoing illness, you know, you do it.
Yeah.
I've had surgery or, you know, people who have had chemotherapy, listen to it while you're doing that. Why getting your body's healing properties on your side?
Absolutely. I have a lot of women do it before and after surgery. It's really wonderful, especially if you are in the hospital and confined to bed. It's a wonderful practice. So thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your presence. And for those of you who want to learn more about Kamini, she has her own website at KaminiDesai.com. And if you're wondering what's up with the Amrit Method and Yoga Nidra, you can also find them at AmritYoga.org. So thanks again, Kamini. It's been fun having you hang out with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of Episode 1 of The Well-Rested Woman. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast series to get fresh episodes like the upcoming conversation with our favorite sleep and dream doctor, Dr. Reuben Nyman. You can connect with us online at boldtranquility.com, and we'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Until our next Well-Rested Woman conversation, be good to yourself.